Americans have set a new record, but there won't be any trophies handed out. We now have the highest credit card debt in history. Hi, I'm Rob West. Yes, it's sad but true. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York made the announcement earlier this month. Neely Simon breaks down the numbers for us today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we're always glad when Neely Simon can join us, even though too often it's when there's a potential crisis brewing, as is the case now with credit card debt. Neely is a certified credit counselor with Christian Credit Counselors and underwriter of this program. And Neely, it's great to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me on the show, Rob.
All right, Neely, let's dive in. What are the numbers? What did the New York Fed reveal about what Americans owe on their plastic?
So for the first time, credit card debt has surpassed $1 trillion and is now at $1.03 trillion. In Q2 alone, it shot up $45 billion, or 4.6%. Wow. Now compare these numbers to the overall household debt, which spiked by $2.9 trillion since the end of 2019, before the pandemic. The interesting observation here is that household debt, which includes credit card debt, mortgages, student loans, and car notes, the fact that the credit card debt is almost one-third of the household debt is very concerning when you think about how expensive a car or a home is. People are really drowning in debt because of these higher interest rates and increased cost of living. At Christian Credit Counselors, we are seeing people struggling with credit card debt now more than ever.
I can imagine. And those are big numbers. Neely, what does that mean to the average household with credit card debt?
So in a recent study, 35% of Americans said they were carrying their highest level of debt ever or coming close to it.
Wow.
LendingTree statistics revealed that in the second quarter of 2023, the average APR on new credit card offers is about 24.24%. The average for all current credit card accounts is 20.68%. And the average for all accounts that accrue interest is 22.16%.
Wow. Well, with the Fed raising interest rates almost a dozen times in the past year, that hasn't helped, has it?
No, it hasn't. And that's because in the last year, interest rates have gone up 4.5 to 5.25 points and continue to grow. The average credit card interest rates are now over 20%. So to put that in perspective, if you're making just minimum payments on an account that has a $6,000 balance, it would take you 17 years to pay off that debt.
Wow.
Credit card companies are actually now required to state on the first page of their monthly statements a minimum payment warning.
Yeah.
That shows you how long it will take to pay off your debt with no new charges and only making minimum payments. So my advice to your listeners is view your monthly statements. They show a lot of important information that can be eye-opening and really make you think differently about just making the minimum payments or even using the credit cards at all.
Well, Neely, of course, folks who are just making minimum payments need to follow the advice we give on this program. Stop using those cards, get on a budget, live on less than they earn, and use the snowball method. But often that's not enough, or maybe they have more than roughly $4,000 in credit card debt, and they really need further help. That's, of course, where Christian Credit Counselors comes in. So tell us about CCC.
Sure. So Christian Credit Counselors, we offer a free consultation that consists of a comparison estimate where we're going to outline all the benefits and the fees of the program. There's no commitment, and our goal is really to educate people on how we can help and provide them the information so that they can make a wise decision for themselves. We then help that person with their budget by either making suggestions or if they've never set up a budget, we're happy to walk them through it together over the phone. The program that we offer is called a debt management program, and it benefits people through our pre-negotiated interests, terms, and conditions with the credit card companies. We lower your payments, and the new interest rates will range between 1% and 12% APR and will vary per creditor.
That's really helpful, Neely. Well, this is my preferred way for you to get out of credit card debt once and for all. And with Christian Credit Counselors, you can do it 80% faster. Neely, so glad to have you with us. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
Learn more at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Few things are trickier to manage than a will or an inheritance. Sadly, these sorts of conversations can turn ugly, where family members are scheming against each other to get whatever they want. But there's a greater inheritance, a heavenly one, that doesn't snuff anyone out. The only requirement? That you be a son or a daughter of God. 1 Peter 1 telling us that in Jesus, God has given us a new birth into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. There is no scheming to be done. There are no worries that you will miss out. There is plenty left for every child of God. In fact, this is a greater inheritance because it'll be with you forever. Rest in that promise for you today. You'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit GetAnchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
I'm so thankful you're with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. It's time to address your financial concerns today. What are you thinking about financially? Maybe there's that question you've been wrestling with over the weekend and you'd like to talk about it, whether it's your living, giving, owing, or growing. God's Word speaks to all of it. We want to help you with practical thoughts and ideas on how you can make a decision with whatever you're wrestling with in your financial life. So give us a call today at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today, and we are ready to dive in. You know, we started today by talking about this incredibly high record-setting debt levels that we have in this country right now, over $1 trillion, yes, with a T, that we owe now on credit card debt. And that's being compounded by the fact that now all of a sudden folks are going to begin paying on their student loans this fall, and that wasn't in their budget. That on top of inflation, which, by the way, even though inflation's coming down, it's cumulative, right? So if last year we were up 9% and then even if this year we're up better, you know, than that, maybe only 4%. Well, you look at that year over year increase, but you put those together and you realize we're just paying a lot more for things, especially at the grocery store. Energy prices are up. That means gas is higher. That's all putting a squeeze on the average family. Unfortunately, because we're so often living right up to the edge, what that results in is credit card debt, and we're seeing that play out with these most recent numbers. So what do we do? Well, we've got to take a step back. We've got to identify our values and our priorities, realizing money is a tool to accomplish a set of goals that should be informed by our values. What do we want to be known for? We want to live simply. We want to be able to give generously. We want to be able to enjoy what God has entrusted to us. Well, the only way we can do that is when we create a spending plan that truly reflects what's most important to us. We've got to do the hard work and cut back where we need to so that we can live within our means, have margin, and absorb, and I realize it's easier said than done, but absorb these higher costs so we don't get ourselves in trouble with credit card debt. Now, if you have credit card debt, where do you go from here? Well, as Neely said, my preferred way for you to get out of that credit card debt once and for all, if you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, and there's not a magic number there, that's just a rule of thumb that says, all right, if you've got at least $4,000, you probably shouldn't do it on your own. There's just, it's going to take you too long. You're going to spend too much in interest. And so therefore, you should look at a credit counseling program, not debt consolidation where you take out a new loan and roll all the debt into one new loan. I wouldn't do that because even if it's a lower interest rate, you're still going to extend the payback period. And often it will result in you not addressing the problem that got you there in the first place. So no debt consolidation, no debt settlement. That's where you stop paying your credit cards altogether, let them get into a delinquent status, which, by the way, is going to cause you all kinds of headache and heartache as you get all those phone calls, and it's going to trash your credit. The idea there is that when that happens, somebody can go in on your behalf and negotiate a payoff. I wouldn't touch that. My preferred approach instead is what's called debt management, which is what ChristianCreditCounselors.org can do for you. They will lower your interest rates, get you set up on one level monthly payment that fits in your budget, and let's do the hard work to get out of debt 80% faster, but in a way that's going to result in a change in how you conduct your finances over time so that once you're out of debt, you never go back there. Now, with less than $4,000, there's two approaches. One's called the debt snowball, one's called the debt avalanche. And yes, those are official terms. I'll describe the difference between the two in just a moment. Hey, let's take some phone calls. 800-525-7000 is the number to call with your financial questions today. Again, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open and you can call right now. Let's head to North Carolina. Hi, Annie. Good morning. Thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm calling to see what would be the biblical approach if you're waiting decades for your mate to get on board with out of debt and all the wise financial, handling decisions. At what point can you separate your financial culpability from your mate's irresponsibility? It's a hard question, but I know non-Christians deal with it often.
Yes. Are you both believers, Annie?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I know this is challenging, and I think you're right. The goal here is oneness. God wants your hearts. He doesn't need your money. And yet money, when handled separately, can draw you apart instead of together, which is obviously not God's design. And that's why we really do recommend that you merge your finances. Now, you can only do what you can do, and if he's unwilling to do that, and that's not uncommon, then all you can do is pray and really lean into that and see if he'd be willing over time to make some steps in this area. I have some ideas here, but tell me, what do you think is the issue? Is it he doesn't want to give up control? Is it that he's, concerned about you kind of, clamping down on his lifestyle? I mean, what do you think's at the heart of this?
Oh, well, I don't really know. I just know that growing up in a Christian home and my parents modeling, frugality, staying out of debt, in wise investments. And he just came from a different upbringing. So I just think it's taken a little longer for him to be committed to those. And I'm just, you know, going into the elder years, I just don't want to be saddled as a widow, you know, with something that is beyond what I can handle as far as debt. So I'm I don't know, in my state, the laws are a little bit different, and I'm almost ready to get a lawyer to help me to kind of just separate everything to protect my own entity. So it's a difficult challenge, but I don't think it's uncommon.
Yeah, no, not at all. Let me ask you, have you had that conversation in the way you just described it to me around your understanding that you all grew up with different money backgrounds that affects how you handle money today, your desire to live frugally and to invest and to stay out of debt, your concern for the future if, you know, he predeceases you, which is what will happen in most cases with a man passing before the wife. Have you had that conversation and expressed those concerns to him?
Many times.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
So,
and what kind of response do you get typically?
I think denial in a way. And like you said, maybe control issues, maybe some shame there. But, you know, instead of harping, instead of, you know, I just feel like it's almost time for me to just go ahead and take some proactive steps, you know, and hopefully that, you know, I don't know. I don't know what my culpability is. So that's the problem with debt that's, you know, reached beyond management level.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's a problem, but I do think obviously we ought to continue just to, first of all, pray and ask the Lord to just open his eyes to your desires and a willingness to come together and really talk through this. I think second, you know, often just talking about those differences, both in terms of how God has wired you each uniquely, but also just your upbringing around money and how that informs how you handle money today, hoping that he'll have a greater appreciation for where you're at. I think thirdly, it's really just to take a step back and say, listen, forget the money for a second. Can we just talk about our values and our priorities? And let's just each describe what's important to us and then how money can be a tool. I'm not looking to point fingers. I'm not looking to control you. I'm not looking to change your, you know, even your spending habits. I just want to talk about how we can move forward together. I want to send you a copy of a book called Money and Marriage, God's Way, for you guys to work through together. And let's finish up off the air. Hold the line. We'll be right back.
This fall, believers from across America will gather in our nation's capital. We'll hear from government leaders, policy experts, and leading Christian voices, learning how we can engage in government at every level, from local school boards to state legislatures to Congress and even the White House, to win back the soul of our nation. Join with us for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, Believe and Engage, September 15th through 17th. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner, American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I had a chance to talk with Annie just a bit more off the air, and I know Annie represents so many of you in our listening audience that, you know, you just feel like you're running into a wall when it comes to communication about finances and marriage. You don't know where to turn, and, you know, we need to start with prayer and asking the Lord to intervene, just like any situation in marriage. You know, money issues are ultimately heart issues. So often it's just not about the money. It's about everything below the waterline, if you think about that iceberg. And really, it does start with where we're at spiritually. It really reflects who we are and how God has wired us. As we said, it involves kind of our upbringing and how money was handled. It involves, you know, shame and regret. And there's just all of these issues, heart-level issues that are tied into the money conversation that ultimately manifests themselves in how we handle money. And it can be a real challenge in marriage, and especially if there's, you know, decisions that have been made in the past that we just wish we would have done differently. And so in order to break through that, obviously we need God to intervene there. We need to I think, approach it appropriately in a loving way, and really just, you know, talking to the spouse about the fact that you're not looking to point fingers or, you know, point blame or anything like that. It's about how do we move forward together in oneness, maybe taking a fresh start, beginning with our values and our priorities. What's most important to us as a couple, and how can the way we handle money from this day forward, regardless of what we've done in the past, how can that reflect God's heart for us to draw closer to each other, to draw closer to Him, and to be faithful stewards from this day forward of what we have so that we can enjoy the blessing of holding money loosely, giving it generously, not having the burden of debt that is just weighing us down, and so that when the Lord calls one spouse home, the other isn't left with a mess. You know, so often I think bringing a third party into that conversation, a counselor or a coach or a financial advisor or even a pastor, could really help to open up that conversation in a way that you haven't been able to previously. What Annie and I decided during the break was we're going to connect one of our Christian financial counselors to them. We're going to cover the cost of this, just our gift to this couple. And Annie believes that perhaps he would be willing to sit down virtually with this financial counselor, and the three of them just really have a forum where they can be honest and open, talk about the concerns that each of them have, and maybe that person, that counselor, can help them chart a course forward that will help them get past some of these issues that she was describing today. Let's at least pray that that's the outcome, and we're delighted to do that. Well, folks, we want to tackle your questions today, whatever you're thinking about financially. We've got some lines open. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Now, I mentioned before the break that there's really two ways to handle debt. If you're going to do it yourself, meaning, and my rule of thumb is less than $4,000 in credit card debt, there's really two approaches you can take on this. One is called the debt snowball. The other is what they is commonly referred to as the debt avalanche. Let me describe the difference between the two. The debt snowball is basically, let's say you've got five credit cards. They each have, you know, varying balances, varying interest rates. We're going to ignore the interest rates for a moment. And we're going to line the credit cards up. Let's say you've got five statements in front of you that came in the mail. I want you to line them up on the dining room table, smallest to largest balance, not interest rate, but balance. And then I want you to go back to that family budget, and I want you to look for every opportunity to trim and cut back. Right now, it's most often the biggest opportunity is going to be your food budget. Just because food is through the roof, we might need to, you know, cut back on eating out. We might need to make some changes. Maybe we don't plan to have dessert, you know, every other night or something like that. I mean, whatever it's going to take. But let's cut back as much as we can. The goal is to free up margin. Margin is just what's left over after all the bills are paid. Now, we're going to pay all the minimums on those five cards that are lined up smallest to largest balance on the dining room table, but we're going to take whatever margin we have, the money you freed up in the budget because you canceled a subscription and a streaming service and you cut back food and you trim the, you know, the entertainment budget, whatever it is, we're going to take all that margin, we're going to apply it to the balance that's the lowest, that first statement on the table. And let's say you freed up $200 a month over and above the minimum payments and all your bills, and let's say that one's $500. Well, 3 months later, that balance is paid off. And now you get to walk into the dining room table and rip that thing in half, and that's going to feel really good. And the studies say that that's going to give you the motivation to keep going. And that's the key. We don't want to get started on this and 3 months later we're stopped. Okay, and so now there's not five cards left, there's four, and we're going to take the minimum payment on that first card, let's say it was $25 a month, and we're going to add it to the $200 that you freed up in the budget, and we're going to the next card. So now we got $225, and let's say that one has $1,000 on it. Well, $225 a month, that one's going to be paid off in 5 months, and now you're ripping up that card, and you're moving to the next one. Well, that's the debt snowball. And the studies say that's the one that you're most likely to finish. And when it comes to paying off debt, if you quit the game halfway through, you've lost. And so we want the strategy that's going to keep you going. Now, the debt avalanche is basically smallest to largest interest rate. And yes, that makes the most sense from a dollars and cents standpoint. The key is, let's say that one with the lowest interest rate is, you know, a $6,000 credit card and you're paying on it $200 a month. Well, all of a sudden, you know, you may not finish that because, you know, that $6,000 is going to take you 26 months to pay off. And you know, you've got four cards waiting behind it. And that's where the debt avalanche makes the most sense from an interest paid standpoint. But where it falls down is you just have a tendency to lose the momentum as you're going. And I want you to finish. That's the key. So anyway, best approach, less than $4,000 in credit card debt, take the debt snowball. More than $4,000, just head over on the World Wide Web to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And that, my friends, is how you pay off some credit card debt. By the way, it all begins with the budget. You've got to spend less than you earn or none of this is going to work. Hey, I hope that's a help to you. All right, we're going to take some phone calls just around the corner. Brenda coming your way next, and your question at 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphaned children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
We're beginning a study in the very practical and challenging book of James on Truth for Life. James addresses issues within the church like quarreling, double-mindedness, the active and passive elements of submitting to God. Learn how to live a godly life in an ungodly world this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. This is the time to call if you have that financial question and you want a biblical perspective on how you practically move forward and make a decision. Give us a call right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head to Arkansas. Hi, Brenda. Go right ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about tithing. I've always been a tither, but this year I've been in an accident and I haven't really worked all year but a month. And I just recently went back to work on the 18th of this month.
Wow.
Due to the accident plus a knee replacement. So I got to get some bills caught up, but yeah. I've always been a tither, so I will get my first check this coming Friday. Do I need to tithe, start tithing automatically, or is it okay to just get my bills caught up and start tithing after I get them caught up?
Yeah. Boy, that's such a great question. First of all, let me ask you, how are you doing physically?
Physically, I'm much better now.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And I'm delighted to hear that you're back to work. I'm thrilled about that. And I love that you're asking about giving, because clearly, Brenda, your desire is to honor the Lord. And that's exactly what you're doing. You know, here's the reality with our giving. God is not an accountant, and God doesn't need our money. He wants our hearts. He's always been about our hearts. And yes, giving is something we should do as believers. And New Testament giving is proportionate. It's giving freely. It's giving cheerfully. Remember, Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. So yes, we should be givers. And yet you've been through a really difficult season. So ultimately, I think this is a conviction matter. It's between you and the Lord how you were to handle this. Here's the way I would approach it. Doesn't mean it's the right way. Again, this is not a matter of you kind of catching up on the bills that you owe to your utilities, and God's one of those bills that you need to catch up on. I wouldn't view it that way. The way I would approach it is to say, listen, I want to be a systematic and proportionate giver. I also am in a situation where I understand it's just as godly for me to get current on my bills, to meet my obligations. I was unable to do that earlier in the year. I am now. And so I want to get this cleaned up and back on track as a faithful steward. So what I would do is I would set up a monthly amount that you begin to give immediately, because I want you to get into that, back into that rhythm of giving. Now, it may not be 10%. You may start at 3% because you're focused on, you know, getting your bills that are past due back to current. And then you may increase that down the road to 5, and eventually you may be at 10, and all of a sudden you're going beyond a tithe, you know, which I think is a great, meaningful principle that we can pull from the Old Testament and apply to our systematic giving today. But I think it's a beginning point, and then we move beyond that. Maybe you're giving 11 or 12 or 13% later. So I guess my thought is, let's do both. Let's start somewhere in a place that you can do right now at the same time you're working on all the stuff from the past, and then let's look to increase that over time. Does that make sense?
It does, yes.
Okay. I think that's – I mean, again, this is between you and the Lord. You're the steward. He's entrusted what he's entrusted to you to manage. And so if he leads you to a different place, go for it. This is not my decision. That's just kind of the way I would approach it, recognizing, again, God doesn't need our money. He's clearly got your heart. You want to be faithful. You want to clear up all these back due bills. But I love the idea of you starting something right now, and I think you'll feel good knowing you're kind of moving toward what you ultimately want to be doing in the area of giving. I hope that helps you, Brenda. God bless you. We're delighted you're feeling better and you're back to work. Thanks for calling today. We're going to stay in Arkansas. We're going to talk to a first-time caller, Jody. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question about, I'm going back to school. I have 2 years left. I'm about to be 26, and I have some money saved up just from working the past few years, and I've received some financial aid that's going to be really helpful. And I just didn't know, like, kind of the current financial state of, like, our country, like, if it would be a good idea to hold on to some of that and like take more loans or what you think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's a both and. I mean, clearly, Jody, you know, I love the idea of you going back to school as long as you've got, you know, a plan in mind that ultimately is going to lead toward a job, and that job, you know, has an income that you feel like could support this debt. And I would say, you know, let's look at a plan where you borrow no more than you would expect to be able to pay back in 10 years following graduation. And if you feel like it's going to be a lot longer than that, I might pull back and just say, let's rethink this a little bit and just make sure that we're actually, you know, getting an education that's going to lead to an income that will ultimately support that, unless God's leading you to the mission field or something like that. But just generally speaking, I'd love for you to be able to pay that back in 10 years. Now, I'd also love for you to minimize the use of debt as much as possible. At the same time, I don't want you to deplete yourself of all of, you know, your reserves either. So I think perhaps my starting point would be to say, you know, let's keep an appropriate amount of savings. You know, we generally look at an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months expenses. Maybe we carve that out. But beyond that, I wouldn't hold back on spending what you have versus borrowing more, as long as we've balanced, you know, keeping enough liquid reserves so that, you know, you've got something to fall back on, and, you know, any other more immediate needs that you're going to have, like, you know, trying to get into an apartment, or if you're going to need to buy a car. I mean, if you know there's some things coming up, obviously we're going to want to plan on those. But beyond that, I would say, you know, trying to minimize your borrowing by spending a little bit of what you've accumulated makes a lot of sense to me, just because I don't want you to be saddled with debt. But I think if you take that approach of really being thoughtful about what you hang on to, and then taking a portion to invest in your education, and then borrowing what you need to with an eye toward only borrowing what you can pay back within 10 years following graduation, perhaps those will give you some guardrails, if you will, to think about how to move forward. Is that helpful?
That is. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome, Jody. Hey, all the best to you. I'm excited for you as you head into this new season of life. What are you studying, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm studying art.
Okay. All right.
It was the quickest thing, so.
Yeah. What are you looking to do with it?
I'd really like to use it in, like, a church setting. I feel like the church is, you know, like, God was the ultimate artist, and so to use something like that for his glory would be great.
Oh, I love that. And do you have any interest in graphic design, or is it really more canvas type art?
Graphic design. Right now, it's just like general until I can apply for the graphic design thing.
Yeah, cool. Okay, well, plenty of need for that out there in terms of marketable skills. But I love that you're already thinking about how you can use that just as a ministry to glorify God. Clearly, he's given you an ability, and absolutely, he is the ultimate artist creator. So I think you're right on point there. Well, listen, thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate you listening and calling. I know you're a first-time caller as well, so we appreciate you checking in with us. Well, listen, folks, all the lines except one are full. We've got some great questions coming up. We'll be headed to Mississippi and Arkansas and even Texas just around the corner. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
The ups and downs of life are not always just happenstance. Sometimes God brings those things into our life for a purpose, that he might strengthen us and make us the kind of people that he can trust and use in the days that are before us.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, When Your World Falls Apart, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Well, I'm thankful you've joined us today for Faith and Finance. You know, here's the reality is that the money issues that we have, the way we handle money, is really one of the clearest indicators into what's going on in our lives spiritually. And in my experience, one of the ways that God shapes our spiritual journey is through our financial journey. It's where we learn to really trust the Lord and to take what he's entrusted to us and to manage it in such a way that it's evident that God is our true treasure and not the things of this world. But that takes work. It takes counteracting the messages of this world. We want to help you do that with a dose of financial wisdom each day here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Let's head back to the phones. We've got two lines open, 800-525-7000. Tommy is in Mississippi. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Rob, and thank you so much for your clarity and your wisdom.
I appreciate that.
You're good. Hey, Rob, I've got a faith-based martial arts program, and I'm currently have the students and the parents, they pay through an ACH program with the bank. And
okay.
It's kind of sporadic and confusing with some of the charges. And a lot of the parents and students have requested the credit card, but in the Stripe or the Square. And I didn't know if you knew of a faith-based program or a good option that we could offer them.
Yeah, so you're looking for them to have the ability to pay through electronic means and set that up, however they would like. Would that be through your website, or would it be through a terminal point of sale?
We could do either. I didn't know if there was one organization that you thought would be a good one. At one time, I thought you mentioned a credit union that you liked.
Yeah.
But we do have the capability of the website.
Okay, very good. Yeah, if you want a banking partner in this, I would reach out to our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. We've been talking debt today. Christian Community Credit Union is what I'm thinking about, and the website is joinchristiancommunity.com. You could certainly check with them. If you're thinking about an online solution, you know, Stripe is by far the leader in this space. And, you know, they have the most in terms of most competitive fees, as well as the most options for how you might offer payment services to them, whether it's ACH or credit card. And then, you know, they go even way beyond that with some really simple payment tools. They just launched a new one recently where you put one button on your website and it just makes payment really simple and efficient. So I would definitely look at Stripe as one of those options if you're going to do a web solution. But again, if you want a banking partner, especially one that shares your values, you certainly could connect with joinchristiancommunity.com and learn more there as well.
Very good, Rob. Thank you so much.
All right. Listen, all the best to you in that business, Tommy. I love that you're offering a self-defense business. That's great. We appreciate you being on the program today, sir. To Arkansas. Hi, Georgia. How can I help you?
Oh, hi, Rob. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm hoping in the next year to retire. And I've got an IRA that has about $75,000 in it right now that I'm taking dividends from. But when I retire, I'm putting it in something more secure that's not, it fluctuates like the stock market does. So do you have any suggestions on what to put it in that I can get?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so I can't make individual stock recommendations, but what I think the big idea here, Georgia, is just the allocation. And the great thing is that we're entering into an environment here where bonds are going to do very well. And I think with a $70,000 IRA, you know, I'd probably be looking to put, you know, as much as 60% in bonds. I'd stay on the shorter end of the duration. So, you know, we're not going out 30 years. I'm thinking, you know, 10 years or less, and just high quality corporate and government bonds. Because here's what's going to happen. The yields are already up. They're already high. And then as interest rates start to come back down, which they will probably, you know, sometime next year, then you're going to do well because those bond prices will increase. And so I think, you know, that'll be a great base for you that'll provide some stability, plenty of income, but also some growth. And that's why I'd put 60 to 70% in bonds. And given the amount that you have with $70,000 total in that IRA, I'd probably use just some high-quality bond mutual funds. Again, shorter duration, high-quality bond funds. And then with the balance, I like the dividend-paying stocks. I think you're right. That makes, you know, having a value-oriented stock that's, you know, not as high-flying on the growth, maybe a little less volatility, and paying off a good, you know, base of income could make a lot of sense. In terms of specific recommendations for either of those categories, Georgia, our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could be a great help to you, soundmindinvesting.org, and they could give you some specific mutual fund suggestions in each of those categories for both the kind of income approach to stocks and for the bonds. Have you historically been doing this yourself and making individual stock selections, or how have you been doing it?
Yes, I've been doing it myself.
Okay.
Yes.
And is that something you'd like to continue, or were you, you know, wanting to hand this off to somebody to manage it for you?
I like doing it myself, but I think when I retire, though, I want somebody else handling it. I don't want to,
Okay, very good. So let me give you one other suggestion. I mentioned soundmindinvesting.org. The other is just to find a certified Kingdom advisor there in Arkansas. We've got about 1,400 of them around the country. It's the only industry designation for those financial professionals and investment advisors that have met high standards and character and competence, and they bring a biblical worldview. They would also sign a statement of faith saying that they share your values as well. So I'd interview two or three advisors, perhaps find the one that, you know, understands the approach you want to take and can really manage the portfolio that way. But it would also take the pressure off of you in terms of making those buy and sell decisions, if that's the direction you want to go. And the way you'd find some certified Kingdom advisors to interview in your area, Georgia, is just to head to our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click find a CKA, and you could do a zip code search. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. That's really helped me a lot. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and all the best to you, Georgia, in this next season of life. What are you most looking forward to as you retire?
Fishing with my grandkids.
I love it.
Grandchildren.
I bet you are. Well, that's great. Well, listen, we appreciate you being on the program today, and call anytime. God bless you. We're going to finish today in Texas. John, a first-time caller. Go ahead.
Yes, I'll try to be quick. I'm 49. I'm fixing to start a job, and for the first time, I'll have a job that offers 401k. I don't know much about it. Just hopefully a quick two-part question. Is there anything major I need to know about it? And two, I've heard there's a gold option. Would that be better to look into?
Yeah, so let's talk about 401ks, John. I mean, this is basically a retirement account that offers tax advantages for you to invest in it. And that's why it's so common, and that's why I would recommend that you absolutely participate in it. Basically, what's going to happen is, assuming they offer just the traditional version of a 401k, then you can only fund it through salary deferral. You can't make direct contributions, but you can say, listen, I want this amount, or I want this percent from my every paycheck to be diverted into the 401k. And when that's done, you're actually not going to pay taxes on that portion that's contributed to your 401k, which is great. You get a deduction on it, and then it's going to grow tax deferred. So once it gets into the 401k, then you'll pick the investments, and somebody from the 401k plan administrator could help you with those selections. One of the easiest ways to go is to use one of the what they call target date funds, which basically just means that you tell them what expected retirement year, the year you expect to retire. They'll put you in a target date fund with that year in it, or as close to it as they can. And then what's going to happen is it automatically builds the portfolio and gets more conservative as you get closer and closer to retirement. So you can kind of set it and forget it to some degree. Now, if you wanted to be more active in terms of how you build your portfolio, you'd have the ability to do that. But that's just one of the more simple approaches to investing. And then every paycheck, you would dollar cost average into the market, meaning no matter, you know, what the market's doing, every paycheck, you'd have the same percentage going into the 401k. It would automatically get invested into those investments. If the market's down, you get more shares. If the market's up, you get less shares. But over time, the idea is you're building a nest egg that you can use to convert into an income stream alongside Social Security when you get to retirement. At the very least, I would put enough in to maximize any matching that's available by your employer. But again, I would set a goal to get up to 10 to 15%. I know I've thrown a lot at you there. Does that all make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. So bottom line is, let's get started with the 401k. Tell them you absolutely want to participate. Let's put at least enough in every paycheck to maximize the match if they offer you a match. And let's set a goal to get up to 10 to 15% of your pay as quickly as you can. And then I'd reach out to the plan administrator and tell them you want somebody to help you select the investments inside the 401k. The simple approach is a target date fund, but if you want to be a little more hands-on, they could explain to you what other options are there and help you land on a portfolio. And then you just continue to make those contributions over time. It'll grow, and you'll be glad you've got it when you get down the road to retirement. John, thanks for calling today, my friend. We appreciate you being on the program. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. So thankful we could cover so much ground today: money and marriage, giving, debt, investing. Boy, I think covered the waterfront here today. Hey, on behalf of my team, Devin Patrick, Jim Henry, and Robert Sutherland on our phones today, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, helping you live with a biblical worldview around money as you steward the resources God has entrusted to you. Have a great day. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.